So to finish off the idea of bracha, let's have a look at the beautiful minhag that we have to bless our children specifically on Friday night. Where does this come from? Why do we do it? So it's just a few ideas on this, and then we'll start a new topic. So we're on page 39, and there is no English translation to this. I don't know why I didn't translate this piece, but we still have to learn it. Berachat habanim, blessing the children. Hachased yavetz, zeichas alevracha, kote besiduro, the sidra of the yavetz.
The what?
The yavetz.
Who is that?
Some Jewish term.
Minhagam shel Yisrael.
Wait, is that a person?
Yes, yes. Minhagam shel Yisrael. It is a minhag of the Jewish people, levarach yeladim, to give brachot to their children, the Leil Shabbat, on Erev Shabbat, on the night of Shabbat. Echad ha'avot, whether that is the fathers, ve'echad ha'rabbanim, and also the rabbis.
Wait, also the fathers and the rabbis?
Yes. When do the rabbis do it? Achar ha'tefillah, or b'kenisa l'bayit. So, interestingly, we don't really do this anymore too much, sadly. But I was in a shul of my uncle Neres Yisrael, and the rabbi of the shul was a great rabbi, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And my uncle, my great uncle, my mother's uncle, helped to build the shul financially. And so I went to this shul many times when I was in Yeshiva Neres Yisrael. I used to go to the shul on Friday night. The minhag was for the entire shul to line up at the end of davening. Actually, I've seen other shuls do this, but slightly differently. And they would line up, and literally everyone would go past the rabbi, he would put his hands on their head, give a quick bracha, and there were like, 100 people, 150 people in the shul, whatever it was. So he had to go quickly, and he would bracha, 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 and he would give blessings to each and every people. This is an ancient minhag. Nowadays, people just line up in the nationalized shul, just give a handshake and move on. But this idea of the rabbi giving the bracha is actually one of the original minhagim of Yisrael. And I love it. It should be reinstituted. The rabbi gives a bracha. Why?
Hmm?
They still do? They go, everyone gives
a bracha. Motzei Shabbat, they do it.
Motzei Shabbat. That's interesting.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. Is that why churches like that have priest goes and...
They love the... Okay, Shaz. Chal. Why should this be? Why do we give brachot? Why do the fathers and mothers now and the rabbis give brachot to the entire population? Sha'az chal ha-shefa. Because that is when the shefa, the abundance of blessing, is chal, it comes down to this world. V'ra'ui, it's very fitting, he says, l'hamshicho al yaladim, to draw it, l'hamshich is to draw it down onto the children's heads. V'yuchat she'ein b'kocham, why is this? Because children do not have the ability, the power, l'hamshich, to bring down the bracha, shefa, b'maaseh, through their actions. They don't have the obligation to do mitzvot. It's difficult for children to bring down this shefa bracha onto themselves. Aval alidei gadol, he says, rather through an adult. So the adult has the power to bring shefa bracha down, because they do mitzvot, and they are involved in goodness and doing good deeds, and children don't. So the adults will bring down the shefa, the abundance of bracha, that is already present, as we already described on these few classes we've already done on the bracha of Shabbat. Okay? Emseh b'shubachu, v'yored v'chal v'nechaz, it comes down, and it's chal, it sits, right? V'nechaz, and it holds on, b'yoter b'ketanim, and the bracha is able to come down and sticks onto them even more. Here's the advantage of being a child. Sha'adayin lo tamu tamcheit, because children aren't really sinners. They don't have many sins. They're still children. They're not held as culpable and responsible for their actions as adults do. So the fact that children are purer in essence means that the bracha will stick onto them more. Right? It doesn't get pushed away. It's not blocked. There's less blockage with children. Therefore, parents have the power to bring it down. It sticks better on kids. And therefore, he says, this is the time to do it, validem hu mishpatet yoter, and through them, it spreads out better. It spreads out better when it comes to kids. They can grab hold of the bracha. It's like a gas, it comes down, and they're more open to receiving it. Aval gam, look at this, so you think just young children, right? He says, no. Aval gam abanim gadolim mekablim bracha mavateim. Also, older children should get bracha from their parents, but nachonu. Let's see, he said this is the right way to do it. So it's not just young children who are pre-bar or bat mitzvah, also those who are post, but still in their parents' homes. I mean, I see people
why?
Who come with their... Because he says, although the concept was children are purer,
right.
And the parents have they have mitzvah, so you would think, okay, so you have a young child and a parent, they should do it. He says, that's true, that makes more sense according to this. But he says, even so, older children in their parents' homes, like even those who come with their children, they should get bracha from their parents as well. Even though they're able to bring bracha, and even though they have tasted sin, and maybe the bracha is not so as effective, even so, it should be done, yeah. The Shefa, the abundance of blessing. On Shabbat, we said, there is more bracha in the world, so they're able to take it and channel it. Maybe a better word. Channel the blessing down. And it sticks them because they have less sin. In other words, so the implication is, as we'll see, when people, you know, do bad deeds, it could be the bracha is blocked from getting through. They're so pure, they're like an empty vessel that is waiting for blessing. Okay? And he's saying, but don't think it's just kids. Adults can also, older children can also get this bracha from other people. Yes, Bella.
Do the parents get any merit for that?
Absolutely. Beautiful mitzvah. They get physical, they get spiritual, they get nachas from their kids. Oh, it's a big thing. Yeah,
they,
sure.
Like,
it's a lovely thing to do.
My parents are not religious.
By the way, you know there's an... yes?
Can I still get like my dad to bless?
Absolutely. Oh, your father's not from? Take his hands, stick them on your head, open a siddur. He reads Hebrew?
Ripa.
Lovely. Then he'll read it. Right? Yisamach Elohim ka Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Velea. Right? And then he's going to say the Yivav Recha, which we're going to say in a second, which is the bracha that Aaron HaKohen and the Kohanim still give to the people. Absolutely. It'll affect him more than it affects you, Bala. Absolutely. You tell her. Say, hey, Abba, not the chala, wait, yalla, sim bracha al Rashi, yalla. Okay, also say, okay, so give him a little bit of vodka, and then it'll do it for you, you know? By the way, there's something to that as well, I'm not joking. I'm not joking.
What?
A little bit of vodka, a little bit of schnapps, to get him into it, get him going. Yes? If you're not with your parents, can someone
else?
Yeah, if you're not with your parents, can someone else give you a bracha? It can't hurt. If they're not family, they shouldn't be touching your head, but they can rest your hands near the head. So when I get, sometimes my kids have guests, so I don't touch their heads. You know?
We know.
For hygienic reasons as well as other things. So I will... You rest your hands above the head, you know, give bracha that way. Do you know something? I've seen Sadiqim in Eretz Yisrael. I've heard of women go to Sadiqim and they'll put a mapa or put something on the head and they'll bless them on that and make some kind of like chatzitza, some interruption, and they give the bracha that way. Yeah. And we'll see why, we're going to see in a second, why the hands are used. This is also an ancient... the Torah... Right, we saw when Yaakov gave bracha to his grandchildren, right, Menashe and Ephraim, he gave his kids, and then he gave his grandkids. And what did he do? He put his hands, right? Ah. So then he switched. So why did he switch, right? You know, this time of the year in the Parshiot, when your kids come home with like cut out hands, with like a little pin that like switches like this, you know? Like, oh, here we are again, right? And he bracha like that. Ah, because he wanted to give the right hand, because the right... takes presence over the left, and he wants to give it to the other son. It was meant to be for Menashe, but he wanted to fry him because he saw something in Menashe. Just by the way, we bless our daughters to be like Sarah and Rivka and Rachel. Would we bless our son? What should, according to that, what should we bless our sons to be like?
Abraham,
Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Who do we bless our boys to be like? Right. Menashe and Ephraim. Why is there this switch from girls to be like the Imaot, which you hear, right? You want it to be like, you want your daughters to be like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and the boys suddenly, out of the blue, out of left field, Menashe and Ephraim turn up. What's up with that? Yeah.
They're the first brothers we see who got along and had a good relationship with each other.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow.
That's a nice idea. We see that they were brothers who had a wonderful, close relationship, beautiful, thank you. Write that down. I like that. You heard that somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very nice. Yes.
I've also heard it's because like Yosef was like so big in Egypt, and like usually when you have like good standing in a place, you're more likely to integrate there.
Shh. I like that too. I wasn't thinking of that. You hear that answer? The idea is that there they are. Their father was a big shot, a viceroy. You would have thought the kids were... So my answer is a little bit similar to that. But these are good. I'll write these answers down. This is good. I like this. This is good, right? They're very, very powerful, Yosef. And you would have thought that the everyone is integrating. So we give bracha. Maybe they needed more brachot. Okay, but why do we use them as the paradigm? Yeah.
Are they the first to get brachot?
No, they're the parents were given, right? So why would they be given? I mean, we assume brachot were given right back to Avraham Avinu, gave to Yitzchak as well. Why would? Yeah.
They were in Golos, and like you know what I'm saying? Their struggles are similar, so like they want to.
So yeah, very good. Struggles similar, yeah.
I learned that it was because they were like the first brothers that during
Inga
Luth, like that were still righteous.
So here's a nice idea. Menashe and Ephraim were children. Where did they grow up? They were born in
Mitzrayim.
Yosef was born
right.
So Yosef met his brothers. He knew his father. He learned. He had a strong tradition. His boys were growing up far away from the family. Where were they growing up?
Mitzrayim.
Did they get to see their Saba? Right? No. Safta? No. Cousins? No. Uncles? No. All they got to see were the other Egyptian kids. So they had a really, really big struggle. It was very, very difficult for them. So they now epitomize the concept of children who were brought up in a foreign land, away from their Yiddishkeit, away from the Torah, away from the Jewish family. And yet, they stayed strong to their faith and traditions that they received from their father that they stood and held by. So we want our kids to be like them. We want our children who are growing up here in Galut, our sons especially, who grow up here in Galut, to see, because boys will see what everyone else is doing and where they're hanging out, and what are they doing, and how are they acting? And we want our children, our boys, to see and say, you know what? We want to be like Menashe and Ephraim. They also grew up away from their family. They also were in Galut, right? They were in exile down in Mitzrayim. And they stayed true to their faith. They epitomize the strong-held beliefs of the Jewish child, right? And now they have to stay faithful to their traditions, okay? Interestingly, what was the bracha that Yaakov gave? Hamalach, Hamalach, Hagoel O, Timikora, Yevarech, Etana, Arim, Vikaram Bahem, Vishem Avosai, Avram, Yitzchak, here's the punchline, right, because he was still alive. Yaakov is still alive. When someone alive, you don't say they're alive. But in the merit of the Avot who had passed away, we use them. The dead person we use to give bracha. Avram and Yitzchak. What is the word? What's the word? Say it again. Very good. Yidgu. What should it be? What's a more grammatical, correct way to say it? Yeah. Oh, that's a different word. That's also true. Yigdu, right? Gadol, right? You know, there's no dug, right? You don't go from the dirt to the ger, you go from the ger. There's no word to go from the dirt. So what's that? What was he implying? The Yidgula Rov. You should be, so what do they say? So you look at the translation, you say you should make them great. That's not what it says. It says you should make them like?
Fish.
Like dug. Oh. So fish enter into the equation over here. You should be like fish. The Yidgula fish are that which represent Judaism. Plentiful, many, right? Fish have this idea of many. Fish are also connected to Shabbat, by the way, because Dag is a Dalet and a Gimel, which is 4 and 3, right? The gematria of Dalet is 4, Gimel is 3, which adds up to 7, which is Shabbat. And we know, Api Kabbalah, that the Neshama, the Arizal says, of righteous people come back as fish, which is why actually we eat fish 3 times on Shabbat. We're taking the neshama, yeah. Actually, each meal, actually, really, you should have it. And the idea of fish represent plentifulness. So you want to bring brachas, all connected. So on Shabbat, we want to bring bracha, plentifulness. Because bracha, the word bracha, actually, Rashi says, something we didn't mention, actually, also another interpretation, means that which is riboy, that which multiplies many, many times. the word bracha. It's another translation of the word bracha. Right? It's blessing we said, yeah. It's blessing we said, and it's a source we said of like sort of water, bracha. But it's also bracha is to ribui, they did multiplication. And fish do that. There's a whole other discussion, which I'm not going to get into now, which is fascinating, which is why people have, especially Israeli taxi drivers, where's Ty? What do Israeli taxi drivers have hanging from the mirror in the car?
The eye.
They have the eye. What is this eye?
Eye
of the... Of what? Eye of a fish. He's a fish eyes. Right. Every Israeli taxi driver's got the fish eye hanging, or he's got the fish hanging, and he's got the yarmulke folded up in the glove compartment. Right? You know, you're an Israeli cab, and everyone, every Israeli taxi driver... Get it, the best conversations you're ever going to have in your life are with the Israeli taxi driver. Oh, Hasaba Shli Arav. Right? Every Israeli taxi driver, his grandfather's a rabbi. It's a given. It's a given. I love it. He's always at the Emunah. He's got the Tehillim hanging over there. He's got the Siddam. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. He's got the thing over there. They have Emunah Peshuta. And he's got the yarmulke, the glove guard. You pull it out. You make a bracha. Oh! One second, he'll take open the thing. He puts on his yarmulke with a big fold in the middle, like, and I'm like, wow, it's a beautiful thing. What is this fisheye business? What is this fisheye business? So it goes like this. Yosef HaTzadik was not affected by the Ayin Hara. It says, Ben Parat Yosef, Ben Parat Ale Ayin. When Yaakov blessed Yosef, he said to him, you are, Ben Parat, you're the graceful one, you're the son of grace, you have tremendous grace. Rashi, by the way, says over there, he was extremely handsome. He was one of those, Rashi says this, one of those handsome men who ever stepped foot on the earth. Women used to jump onto walls. By the way, it's mentioned, it's not stump. They would jump onto the walls just to catch a glimpse. Which, by the way, why is this mentioned? Well, one reason is to show the tremendous nisayon. Here's Yosef, extremely wealthy, extremely powerful, extremely handsome man, and he still didn't betray and marry out of his faith and get disconnected from his people. He still kept his mission. He didn't sin with Eshet Potiphar, with the wife of Potiphar. He stayed loyal as a young boy. It's not easy. He stayed loyal as a young boy and was able to do this. As well as that, when Yosef was a young boy, Esav, his uncle, put his eye on Rachel, his mother, when they met up. When that meeting happened, Yaakov and Esav meet up. So they say that Yosef stood in between the eye of Esav and in between Rachel, his mother, to make sure, because Esav had his eye on Rachel and was interested in this righteous woman. So Yosef, well, don't even think about it, got in between. For that he was given bracha. For that he was given bracha. Listen carefully. And the Kabbalah says that he was not able to see her and he blocked his way. Because of that, Yosef and his descendants are not affected by the Ayin Hara. Hence, Ben Prat Yosef, Ben Prat Ali Ayin, he's above the eye. But they also say, what's above the eye? The brain. He even controlled, the Ben Ish Chai says, he even was able to, so this entire idea comes to the Ben Ish Chai, was even able to control his mind. Right? To control your hands is one thing. Move up the body, it's even harder to control your eyes. And above that, harder to control your thoughts. Yosef HaTzadik, why is he called Yosef HaTzadik? Why did he get that title? That's what Avram HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, because he was able to control this area. He was able to control his eyes, what he saw, and his brain was control this area. So his children, the Gemara says, and their descendants were affected by the eye. So the eye always represents this, so the fish eye, why fish? So he was able to give a bracha, right, Yaakov, to his children, that they should be like fish. Where a fish? Where a fish live? Under the water. It's quiet. No one there. No one sees them. Fish have a certain status, right? Like they're a creature, don't make noise. Fish don't make noise. Other creatures make a lot of noise. Fish are quiet. You don't want Ayin Hara on you? Keep quiet. Don't show anything to everyone. Be below the surface. Fly below the radar. Right? That is the bracha of Yosef. Fly below the radar. Don't be seen. He was a tsnua person. He was modest in dress and the behavior. Tsnua is not just clothing. It's also that. It's also in behavior. It's also behavior. He was able to do that. And therefore the Ayin Hara could not affect him. And this passed on to his descendants. Now we don't know who his descendants are. All right? The tribe of Yosef left off. Okay? So this is the blessing of Yosef was not affected by it. So fish are. And we see fish also have a protection. Right? The only creatures that were not affected by the Mabul were the fish. Right? They did not become corrupted. They stayed pure. They stayed in the water, and they did not have to make their way in little goldfish bowls onto the ark. They remained in the water. They protected. Okay, so fish represent bracha. And what is bracha? Bracha is always multiplication. Bracha is multiplication. It comes one, becomes two, and fish multiply quickly. Right? So we bless our children, like Yaakov blesses, they should be yid gularov, they should be like fish. Marbe, you should have a lot of blessing, a lot of parnasah, a lot of chochmah, right? A lot of Torah, a lot of children, whatever it is, we want to give the bracha, the yirbu, right? A lot. So that's how the blessing of fish, right? And that's maybe one of the reasons we have fish in Shabbat, which is the makor habaracha, to represent this idea.
That's like, I don't know if it's like just my family, but my grandmother, like in Tunisia, they had a minhag that every Pesach she eats the eye of the fish. For like
the shmor
from
Einhar,
stuff like that.
Could be. Eating eye of fish. It could be. Could
like,
be. It could be. Maybe Rosh Hashanah. I mean, maybe as well the idea of the fish.
Yeah.
It could be. Made no mistake. Like, I eat no fish eyes. But this representation, it has a source. Has a cherish.
Yeah.
All the Sephardim, answer question. They love this, right? They love, this is like the all the Ashkenazim are like, okay, get onto the halacha, please, already. Go to the next topic. I'm busy. So I'm like, Einhar. Hello. Okay, where's my pencil? They're like, ooh, they get excited. Yes. Yes, there is a. It seems to be they go from the oldest down to the youngest over here. And the idea of the older getting the bracha first. And I know in my family, my kids are. You give a bracha to the younger child first. Dear Balak. And there's milchama. There is malacha in the house, right? You do the oldest down to the youngest is the way to do it, yeah. Because this is the idea of the malach, which is going to protect you, you're going to get to sleep. The negative forces are there, so we sing this thing. You say these words, right? Adults do it too, to protect you at night time. Yeah.
How come we don't say the actual, like God doesn't say the actual bracha? Like
what actual bracha?
Like
why not do? I don't know. Maybe they should. Maybe they should.
And
before they go to sleep. You sing that to your kids. Your parents do that. It's a nice thing. You sing to your kids before they go to sleep. My house, they know you get a malach goel and you get a back scratch and then you go to sleep. And don't get out of bed. You had your malach goel, get back into bed, yeah? Yes.
I've seen families where the father and mother both bless the children.
Oh, very, very good. Yeah, now, this is... So when does the mother... So the best time for the woman to do it, or the time when it's usually done, is after the hadlaka or the nerot. Many people have that minhag. The girls come and the mother will give the bracha right after Hadlakat Nerot, and that is also connected because Hadlakat Nerot, which we're going to speak about, Galuing, is a very, very special mitzvah, has tremendous spiritual power, the light of that point, and at that point she's being makabel something very, very special, and she's channeling that energy, if you will, onto her kids. So that's a very, very good time. And the father, he comes home after Shabbat, and he brings in, whether they walk into the house, or some people do it, I mean, what do you mean? Some do it before, some do it after. It's also good. That's also very, very good. Yes.
I don't understand what you said about Yosef and Esau.
So there was an incident where Yaakov and his came together and Esau caught his eye upon Rachel. Yosef stood between, so he didn't see him, the Torah says. And for that, he was rewarded. He was watching. He wanted to take her.
He wanted to take her.
Wait, so for himself, literally.
No,
right?
I get it. But see,
so he stood between. He blocked his line of vision.
That's why we say when a kid's cute, like, oh, Ben Torah is
dead. Ben Torah, that's the Debilian Ara. That's
where is that coming from?
It comes from the Torah.
What's the
so that was the Shesho. Basically, he blocked his eye, so his eye was blessed with this, that no Ayin Hara, it's like Midah Kenegan Midah, it's going to affect Yosef. He was not affected by the Ayin Hara. By the way, you should know, the Ayin Hara, you know... Will someone please tell... Everything is connected to Shabbat. So the idea, I connected it a little loosely. We give bracha to our children, and the blessing we give to our kids is Hamalach Gol Mikorai Yid Gol Rov, like fish, Adir of Yirbu, right? And bracha and I, and we pulled it all together. Yes.
So why is the I with the fish?
Because fish represent the idea of bracha, which is the opposite. Ayin Hara. What does Ayin Hara do? It limits. Maybe this is a key piece of measure. Ayin Hara limits and takes away bracha. Since we're talking about it, let's talk about it. What is it going on? So the Maharal, this is important.
Is it we know this?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You need, everything I say, you need to know. I'm teaching you Torah.
Them. I need to know this.
Okay, this will not be on the midterm.
Okay.
Is it you checked out now? That's it? That's right. No more glad that's it? We're checked out? I'm going on vacation and not worry. You can.
No.
But
what we learn Torah on the show. You don't have to learn it for the time.
Okay. I'm now going to give you. So now, we're now going to talk about the Ein Hara. I've got nothing to do with the examination. This is purely schar for your neshama. How does that sound?
We don't need to know about the fish? Like, that whole thing was not...
Well, no, not really. It's a good thing to know, but it probably won't be on the exam. Okay, so it goes like this. The Maharal of Prague says... You know, since the start that I did, let's close it up. The Maharal says that... What is Ein Hara? Ein Hara is comes from... No, for God's sakes. No. You know what? I'm putting it on the test. Is that better? Oh, no, I can't. Okay, so when a person is jealous of another person, right, what are they doing? This is the source of it, right? They're tzarut ayin. They see another person, they go, why does that person have children? Why does that person have a house, car, yada yada, pocketbook, you know, nice hair or hair, you know, whatever it is, right? So it goes like this. So the Maharal says, when a person is jealous of someone else, they're actually making a bracha, a negative prayer.
On the other person?
Yeah. And they're actually, even subconsciously, saying, why does that person get what they get? What happens is, the mechanism that happens over here is that it opens up a sefer in Shemayim. That person then gets a din and cheshbon. Are they worthy of this particular bracha? Right? And it could be Hashem says, you know what? You've opened the account. Let's have a look. They're not worthy of it. And that chas v'chalila, that bracha that they have, right, gets taken away.
Who, the
person? So, yeah, the person who they're,
the person
they're jealous
they're
of. Yes. Yes, yes.
So they're taking away that.
Yeah, absolutely. They have the power. Ah, because there's a system, right? Hashem, why does Hashem allow it? Because maybe a person's not worthy of keeping it, chas v'shalom. And it shows the power of prayer. There is positive prayer. Positive prayer is what? What's positive bracha? I want to give you lots so you can increase. So Ein Hara does the opposite. It mitzamsen, it takes away and it reduces chas v'shalom,
so
another person. So saying Bli Ein Hara, if it works, is based upon the idea you're actually making a blessing. You're doing a, I guess the idea is you're making a prayer to counteract it. Saying Bli Ein Hara, in other words, what you really should be thinking is, I should have this beautiful bracha, Hashem gave it to me for a purpose, it came for a purpose, and I'm connecting to it. You know, and the Baruch Hashem, I'm grateful to Hashem that I have it. Hashem says, you know what, they're using it. Now, just because a person is jealous of you and prays against the person, chas v'chalila, doesn't mean that person is going to be effective. A person can, Hashem says, you know what, that person deserves that money, that house, that car, that bracha. And Hashem says, they deserve it. It just opens the account. It could be that Hashem looks at the account and says, they deserve to keep it, depending on their actions. But you don't want the account. You don't want the IRS to come check you out. Because once the IRS is there, they can start looking at certain things you don't have to look at. Right? But once they're in, if you can show your accounts are good, then you get to keep your money. You have to give it to the IRS. Get it? So here as well, the idea is you don't want a cheshbon and cheshbon to happen. Right? It's bad enough that we all get it on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Right? That's a challenge that we all definitely get it. But you don't want it during the year. So a prayer can, negative prayer, which comes through jealousy, can generate it.
Well, how are you supposed to know if no one actually
expresses those? So very good. So number one, you should, first of all, fly below the radar. Not everything has to be overt, in people's faces, showing it off to them, you know? You can have nice things. Number two, we merit what we have. We thank Hashem for everything we have. We thank Hashem for all the brachot. That's what we do every day, all day. Thank you, Hashem. Baruch Hashem, I'm so grateful, Hashem, for this. That's what prayers are. And then Hashem says, you know what? Using the powers, the talents, the brachot for the right thing, and you get to keep it. And then it can't come through. Happens to be that the neschus of Yosef, for some reason, was able to hold on to this bracha. That's what I want to share with you. Let's get back inside. Okay.
Where are we?
Page 39, halfway down. We're on the second paragraph. V'sefer Maviyavik Shaninu. We learn over there. Amru b'perek Gidol Abanim. It says in the chapter discussing the perek of bringing up children. K'shiyasim Adam Yada al Rosh Hakatan u'mitbarech. When a person puts their hands, and now we're bringing hands into the picture, for just bracha. Now he's saying, when you put your hands onto the head of the child and give a bracha, this is the way we do it. And he says, as we see, the Yishlach Yisrael to Yemino, right? It says that when Yaakov put his hands, he deliberately used his hands, he stretched out his hands onto them. So we see bracha is connected to hands,
Okay. V'yivarachem b'yom ha'ol emar ki b'yad ha'adam. Why? And he gave him that bracha. Why? Ki b'yad ha'adam tet vav prachim. There are tet vav. There are 15 prachim joints in a person's hand. Kaminyan, which is connected to tet vav tevot, 15 words, sheba bracha kohanim, that the bracha of the kohanim give to the population. There's three parts to it, and there's 15 words, right? What are they? What are they? Somebody? That's 15. Right, so we take the 15 joints, right, which are connected to the 15 words in Birchat Kohanim, and we put those blessings, so we sing the word, we say Yivarecha, and we put them onto the head of the child, right, Lomar, as if to say, Yachul Roshacha, it should fall upon your head, Habrachot, Shebushalosha, Pesakim, Pesukim Elu. These 15 words found in these brachot, right, should go and they should rest on your head. And the Kohanim also use their hands, right, and they spread out like this, right, and they will give bracha. And what are they doing? A shin, right, and they're spreading out. The idea of the bracha comes out of the fingertips.
Why? But like, you didn't really, like, all you said was is that, like, father and the Kohen, the same thing, but you
right.
See the
so the idea that, so the connection is that the 15 parts of the hand which are connected somehow to the 15 words of Brichat Kohanim.
What do you mean somehow?
The number of them.
Like, what do you mean, like
the number? There's 15 words and there's 15 parts of the hand. That's what he's saying.
But we don't.
Yeah?
We don't say that these. Should we say that? We should say that.
Yes. 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 Yes.
I know, but when we put our hand and we bless, we don't say that these.
No, you don't say it. It's being done. The action is the statement.
But do they connect because you say Yivarechacha and both brachot?
Yes.
So the Yivarechacha is what connects the bracha you're doing to your child with the Birchat
Kohanim? Well, we see that bracha comes with the Torah. That bracha was the bracha. So basically, you become like a Kohen. I mean, that's pretty much, that is a bracha which Aaron HaKohen gave to all the Jewish people. It happens to be his descendants given to the entire congregation, and we use that same bracha. It's still a beautiful bracha that asks for bracha and parnasah and health and it's channeled.
It?
Yes.
Anyone could say it.
Yes. He said, we'll say it. Every non Kohen is a pesukim from the Torah. A non Kohen says it.
And we say,
and children.
Right? Is there a non Kohen?
So it's a different bracha than the father blessing the child?
Same bracha, same words from the Torah. No, the actual bracha at the beginning. But Yivarech, Acha, that's the
so
same words.
The child with the bracha from the Torah,
yes.
Blessing the child.
Just like the Kohanim bless the community, so too parents have the ability to give, to draw blessing down to their kids. It's the same thing. The Kohanim are able to do it, and it passes through them to someone else, and so too, the parents will use the same words when they bless their children Friday night.
They do use the same words?
Same words, Yivarech Hashem Vishmarach, yeah.
So why don't you look at your parents and
I'm sorry, what?
Why can you look at your parents and not the Kohanim?
So the Gemara says we don't look at the Kohanim, B'shat, because it diminishes the eye.
You don't really look at your parents, your head is down.
Yeah, I've never heard that. You can look at your parents if you want to. Yeah.
But what if, I didn't count it out of my head, but what if the bracha not be 15?
No, it's 15. And from the Yivarecha part, it's the same boys or girls, and that has 15.
Oh, so it's not
counting. No, not the whole thing. Right. Just those 15 words of Yivarecha, which is the main, that's the main part of the bracha.
Okay.
Right? Those are the words. Yeah.
Wait, is it allowed that, like, you can bless a female with, like, the same Yivarecha?
That's exactly what we're going to do. Absolutely.
When the Kohanim
give the community, he's blessing the women as well. It's for the entire Kahal.
Okay.
Everyone gets the bracha. Absolutely.
Because, like, the Kohanim,
yes, the Kohanim are males, but the power to give bracha is universal from male or female to male or female. Absolutely. Okay? So, fine. So now we figured out that we give bracha, right, because we have this power as adults to bring shefa to children. Then we say we use our hands, 15 parts. Now, why on Shabbat? I don't think when Yaakov gave the bracha to the grandkids and to his children, it was Shabbat. Or maybe it was, but I don't think so. Why? Yeah. Omen nagav rechav Shabbat Kodesh. Obeprat belesh. Why belel Shabbat? And he says, "Besof nefesh yiteira." Sorry, uvesod nefesh yiteira. Shaal hamavarech Umidvarech yechulu habrachot. So we mentioned already, we go into a lot more detail, that a person gets an extra neshama, right, on Shabbat Kodesh. Person gets neshama yatera, right, and get nefesh yatera at different parts. So a person's soul becomes expanded, okay? Va'od, this is a Kabbalistic idea, ki ein satan, because the satan, Satan, is not able to be pegarab Shabbat, to give badness on Shabbat. Okay, the satan is blocked. There's a certain blockage that comes to the satan. Okay, we know that the judgment actually of Gehenna is also closed. Right, the Gemara says the fires of Gehenna are also reduced on Shabbat. And so too, the satan cannot be makatrik, cannot say bad things about Shabbat. She katrik ala bracha. And usually during the week, a person gives bracha, it could be, he says over here, it's Kabbalah I guess, that a person's bracha can be knocked away. The satan can come and can block the bracha. Okay. However, since the person has an neshama yetera and the power of the satan is reduced on Shabbat, okay, she nidchu meri Shabbat, right? Lenukva de benhusa rabba, it gets kind of like pushed away. But surah kavol levarecha adam banav Shabbat. So there's a great thing, he says, to bless our children on Shabbat because the satan is not so powerful, right? Ve'im yesh lo bat. Gami barachana, she should get a bracha. Right? Boys should get, girls should get. But prat b'leil Shabbat. This is all week, but specifically on Friday night, because the adult, the father has a, and the mother have neshama yetera, which they brought in with Shabbat. Okay, through the candle lighting. The neshama has now expanded. Yeah, extra neshama. We'll describe what that means. Some say it means a wider, some say an extra soul. Some say it just means the souls they have are expanded. That's Rashi. We'll see. They have extra neshama, and now the bracha is not blocked by the sitracha, by the negative forces which can exist during the week. On Shabbat, Hashem turns down the volume of these forces. So the bracha is channeled and has a much better chance of reaching its destination on the Shabbat. V'zeh lashon Sefer Chaim, he says, Nogim ha'olam. Right through the world we have this minhag, Sha'am mevarach et ha-ben, v'chen ha-rav et ha-talmidah. B'yom HaKodesh Hazeh, Lufi, Shetzinurei Brachot, the pipes, the channels, right? This is all Kabbalah. The channels from Shemayim, the Shefa, are of a Brachot. Petuchimba, says the Zohar, are more open on Shabbat. This is the answer to your question, Bella. Right? What? The channel, the funnels, right? There's a... They say
channels of what?
Of Shefa that come down. There's certain pipes. Kabbalah, that bring from the upper worlds to the lower worlds, these are more open on Shabbat. They're easier to get down. Right? They've been decluttered. Right? It's open now. The Shefa Bracha comes down, it's all open and whoop comes straight down to this world. Va'al tehi brachot hediot kala benacha. He quotes the Gemara that says, don't let the bracha of a hediot, an ordinary person who's not a Talmud Chacham, right, be light in your eyes. Right? You don't think your father's so special? You should. You should. But let's say your father's not a big Talmud Chacham, you barely read Hebrew, don't worry about it. Don't lessen the power of brachot, he says, al tihi bracha hejot kala b'necha. Don't let the brachot of the less learned person be light in your eyes. Okay? Interesting, eyes appear there as well. And therefore, you should take a bracha from whoever, whenever, whatever. A person gives you a bracha, say, Amen. Say Amen. Keni Ratzon. Yes.
Do they have to put their children? Because sometimes my dad put on one of my sister and one on me.
It's nice. But listen, this is a minhag. If that's the minhag he has, then you could do it. But usually put both hands onto each child and bless each one separately. You don't have a bracha. You don't have the candy. You don't have the husband. You want the whole thing, right? You want the whole thing, right? So get him to, but if that's what he does, it's fine. It's not, yeah.
Like sometimes my father blesses my mom, but I don't know if it's just because he's like a
Kohen,
or...
Oh yeah, Kohenim love doing this, yeah. I don't know, could be. Look, this is not just Kohenim, this is everyone. Everyone becomes a holy Kohen at this time, has the power to give bracha, that's what he's saying. Yeah.
Where does the idea of Satan come from? Like,
that's a much bigger question. It's more based upon Kabbalah. This is where the source of it comes from.
It goes right back to the beginning, yes. Yes, negative spiritual force that exists in this world. It's more found in the Kabbalah, is where it's discussed, yeah.
When I was growing up, my dad only gave bracha on Erev Yom Kippur.
There is a minhag on Erev Yom Kippur to do this as well, very, very special. And that's probably connected to the idea that Kippur is... Well, we're going to see another reason, by the way.
Kippur is Shabbat Shabbaton.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see in a second, maybe. Let's do one last paragraph. We'll finish the class with this. So don't go anywhere. And we will see maybe another reason why we do this. Okay? You know, turn over the page. There's a bit called cut off. So do the second part. And we'll finish with this. Another reason why we do it. V'kach ne'emar b'seifa tikinui Shabbat l'Rabbi Moshe Mizalchin. Shemati tam nachon. I heard a real good reason. Mashano gim kol Yisrael levrecha b'nehem uvenoteyem b'chol Shabbat v'yom tov. Erev Shabbat and Yom Tov. Okay. Mipnei, because. Shelefamim, it happens to be, b'yomot hachol, during the week, ha'av, va'em, mekalelin et b'nehem. They're going to
curse
out their kids and get angry with them. Right? Merov tsar, because of the major tsar, right, which their kids give them, or machmat ezesiba, shirlahem, or something happened to them. Right, so kids drive their parents crazy, and always, you little, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to smack you, but you're shouting at your kids, right? Right, so the whole week, you're cursing your kids, right? Not cursing as in saying swear words, but you're shouting at them, getting upset with them. V'lechen, that's why, ata, now, bizman simcha, at a time of great happiness and joy, mevatlim otam haklalot al yedei habrachot. You are canceling out all the klalot you gave to your kids.
A klal
is a curse. Right? With a bracha, a curse. Right? Not a swear, but a curse. Right? You're, you know, shouting at them and you're cursing them. Oh, I'm going to kill you, little. I'm going to wait till I, you know. Right? So it could be along the way. You shout at your kids and you threaten them. And you don't want those curses to stay. You want to bring bracha to the child, not curse, chas v'chalila. So comes on Shabbat, and on Shabbat everyone's calm, hopefully, and everyone's enjoying, and everyone's happy, and the kids aren't going crazy. So what do? You put your hands on your kids' heads, and you forgive them, and you give them bracha. You negate it all. Maybe that's why, Devorah, Erev Yom Kippur, a time of mechila, which we all try to give each other. Maybe that's also why Erev Yom Kippur, we have this minhag, which is a beautiful thing, to bless our children that they should have shalom on their heads and chas v'chalila, not klalot. And by the way, as a side point, it's worth mentioning that from kids to parents, the amount of trouble we give our parents is incredible as a child, and we actually lose sechut because of it. You have to be very careful. This whole inyan of kibud avim, right, and mora avim, honoring them, is probably one of the biggest mikshalim we have. One of the biggest
struggles
and obstacles, thank you, that we have of success. I read once that Esther Hamalka was spiritually successful because she didn't have to deal with all the problems of kibud avim. She was an orphan, and therefore she didn't build up, right, too many problems between her and her parents. And that's actually one of the reasons, because there's so many things we do that are wrong, that we upset our parents. So aledei bracha, we build it up. And what happens, he says, beautiful words, v'yafoch Hashem, because who gives bracha? Hashem is the source of bracha, right? Shabbat is the channel where it comes through. Hashem is v'yafoch, he turns over, et haklala lebracha, right? V'ha'et, right? Goremet shegam ha'malech, ra, also the bad angel that accompanies the father home, is able, li'aneh amen alzeh. He is also forced to say amen to the bracha that the father and the mother give to their children. So you're able to turn the malach ra, this bad angel who comes home, the Gemara says, two angels come home, and if he sees everything is laid out beautifully, table is good, and all the children are clean and smiling, right, and the mapa and the table is laid beautifully, and everyone's there. He comes and gives bracha, and the angel Ra is supposed to say amen. He's saying this also happens to the bracha, right? The angel, the malach Ra, is also able to, forced to say amen to the bracha that the parents give to the children.
What if you want to give your parents a bracha?
So give.
Give. More bracha. More bracha. Why not? It goes from anyone to everywhere. We shouldn't belittle this idea of bracha. I'll tell you, and 1 year I was having trouble having a shidduch, getting married, which wasn't surprising. And I was dating. And one Rosh Hashanah, I said, you know what? I was in yeshiva. It was the end of davening. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get a bracha from everyone in the shul to get married.
Wow.
And I went to every single guy in the entire shul, and I made him give me a bracha to get married. That year, Ken Yirbu, Yishtabach Shemolad. I got married that year, Baruch Hashem. I got married there. I found a wife who wanted to marry me. Okay, I wasn't willing to spend that much time on this beautiful topic, but it's such a good and powerful topic. We'll pick this up. Monday is our midterm.
Fun stuff.
Right up to page 40. Study hard with a partner. You can study this on Shabbat. It's a bracha.